Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Heard about Anchor? It is the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your own phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more podcast platforms. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Alrighty, folks, this is episode number 119 of YWC Football Talk. I'm using natural lighting today, but that's not the important story. The important story, making his first appearance back on the podcast since Super Bowl week, Break the Walls 10, Bobby Gross back on the show. Bobby, it's a Friday morning. How are we feeling?
Oh, my God. Let me tell you something, Griff. I am never up this early. I woke up super early today. I woke up at like 9:30. I work nights, as you know. I come in super late, but, you know, I woke up for you, man. I woke up for you. I woke up for the YWC Football Talk. It's my yearly appearance. Yeah, man, I'm happy to have to be here and to talk some football.
I love it. I love it. And obviously, it's a really good time, too, because it's Friday. Like I said, it's Friday morning right now, and I'm recording October 15th. Thursday night or last night was the Eagles and the Buccaneers. Obviously, we could talk about the game or how the spread made me angry or whatever. But the one thing I really want to talk about, because I don't get, is I don't know how much of the game you saw, because like you said, you work nights. But that taunting call, I believe it was on Brandon. I believe it was on Brandon Graham, I want to say.
But, no, BG's out for the year. Jannard Avery.
Avery. Yeah. I just saw it. Like, I think he just looked like Brandon Graham. That's all. Like, that's completely over my head. But no, like, my whole thing with it is he literally just like went over top of him and just like flexed on him. I'm like, that's the one thing about this taunting call. Like, look, I understand if you're going to call it, you've got to call it right. Call it for, like, you know, like, for example, in the Super Bowl, Antoine Winfield, when he did the deuces to Tyreek Hill after when he intercepted him, or when someone, you know, like fully does something, like, say, for example, an Allen Iverson, Tyronn Lue step over incident. Right. You've got to get it right. If someone's going to flex on someone, like, you've got to call. You either call nothing or you call everything. But at the same time, too, that's where this no fun league narrative comes back.
100%. And listen, the rule is stupid. Like, everybody agrees that this taunting nonsense is just, it's ridiculous. Like, why are we penalizing taunting 5 yards less than like hitting someone in the head? You know, it's just ridiculous. Like an unnecessary roughness call, helmet to helmet, something like that. It's the no fun league, but I will say, like, I'm not here to make excuses. You know, it's on the players at the end of the day. And one thing that's been a consistent trait of this team is taking stupid penalties. I'm pretty sure we're the most penalized team in the league. That's on the coaching. Usually, and it was funny. Like, I was surprised when that penalty was called. I was like, oh, it's got to be that bastard Derek Barnett. Derek Barnett takes so many stupid, unnecessary roughness calls. I think he has more penalties in his career than sacks. And he's like the bane of my existence on that defense. I thought it was him. It was Avery. But, I mean, if you're Avery, you know, as stupid as the rule is, you can't do that, especially at the end of the game when we're trying to make a big stop and get the ball back.
Derek Barnett was the player I was thinking of, by the way. It was either him or Brandon Graham. I know I went on – that's not a good week for me, because obviously I had a tweet last week that got kind of called out for me saying that the Jets were –
Oh, you got shredded.
Oh, I got shredded for that. The Jets – saying the Jets were a -3 when it was actually +3. It literally – one little symbol would have made me, like, go from looking normal to looking like a fucking idiot. But – But no, like, I just looked it up too on the side, like, just to see what it is. It is you guys who are first for penalties. And you're right. Like, look, you have to run a disciplined ship no matter who you are in the NFL. But at the same time, too, the fact that I always knew that the over was going to hit last night, But so I have two takeaways in this game. One is that, look, Tom can do whatever he wants. Actually, I have three. Two, man, Jalen Hurts in the red zone is a really good quarterback. Like, he can just find those holes, run it in, sneak it in. But I still feel like you can tell that this is being a team being coached by a rookie head coach.
100%. And, you know, I said this on Twitter, I think last week or something like that. I'm not expecting much from this team this year. All right. We have a rookie head coach who I am not impressed with so far. It seems like he's got a lot of Doug Peterson traits. I feel like the past 5 years, we also lead the league, not only in penalties, but in screenplays that fail. Like, it's like 20 screenplays a game, drives me insane. I'm sick of seeing the RPOs. You got to do something different with Jalen. You know, it's Sirianni. I don't know what's going on, because the team's leading in penalties. Last week with Sanders, that whole debacle, running out of bounds within 2 minutes and not letting the clock run. He did it twice. And then the same thing happened last night with Jalen Hurts. I think at the end of the half or something like that, where he was supposed to run it out and run in bounds, and he went out of bounds. It's up to coaching. And I wasn't crazy about the Sirianni hire when it was announced. I'm still not crazy about it. And as far as Jalen, you know, it's his 10th start, so I'm not going to, like, go crazy, but the game last week with Carolina in this game, he didn't look very good. He makes plays with his legs, no doubt about it, but he's missing easy throws. He's missing the open guy. He's holding on to the ball way too long, and I know that was a critique coming out of college, that the guy just doesn't get rid of the ball fast enough, but you know, you would hope that he's getting coached up enough. And I don't know if that's happening with Nick Sirianni. So that's really my concern at this point. I don't know if it was the best call to bring in a rookie coach for a guy who needed that much coaching. We'll see. He's on one of my fantasy teams. He's putting 20 points up every week, so I'm happy about that. But just real football talk, he doesn't look great. He has his moments. He's definitely can change the game, but he can also just be bad. And the past 2 weeks, he hasn't been great. So I still believe in the guy, though. I think he can turn it around this season.
Yeah, I feel the same way with Hurts. Like, I feel like how everyone's kind of on his case already, kind of like how some people were on Daniel Jones' case, where it's like, look, it's a second year. You got to prove it in your second year. I always say, give a quarterback 3 years. Like, look at Kyler Murray, how he went from, like, the first 2 years to this year where he's in the MVP talk. Yeah. Obviously, you look for that second-year leap. Like, we see it right now, like with Justin Herbert, for example. But there's a lot of these guys, like, even to Josh Allen, third year, first 2 years, yeah. Everyone's like, oh, I don't know. But then the third year, he just exploded. He found his right footing. So, and you're right, too. Like you said, Jalen's, it's only, would you say, his 10th start?
Yeah, I think it's his 10th start. And that's the thing, too. Like, he only got, what, 2 or 3 starts last year?
Yeah.
And that was when Doug was on the way out. So I don't even count those games. So
biggest draft game of the year against the Saints.
Of course.
Shootout with the Cardinals.
Yeah. It's just like, I don't know. It's tough. And I think we're going to have some more drama in the offseason, especially if we get this first rounder from the Colts. If Wentz plays 75% of the snaps, and right now he's at 100, which is a good thing. But if we have 3 first rounders, I'm scared of what Jeff Lurie is going to want to do, because I think Watson's going to – all the stuff with Watson's probably going to be cleared up by that time. I think Russell Wilson is on his way out of Seattle. I mean, I would love to have Russell on the team, but I don't know if it's worth – the draft picks and the cap space, considering where this team is at, I don't think we're particularly close from contending. So I think that's a move you make if you're close. I don't know. This is like a total sit back and watch year for me. But I will say, like, I'm not that impressed with many aspects of this team.
Okay, this is what I like about a lot of NFL fans, and I was purely guilty of last year. Last year, I was purely guilty of my Apple Watch and Do Not Disturb. But last year, you know, we were on here and I remember thinking, saying, hey, the Patriots are fine. The Patriots are okay. And everyone's kept telling me, no, they're not as good as you think. And I just didn't want to believe it. But then I like when reality hit me, like it sucks. So I'm kind of glad that right now I have you in this situation. Another faded fan YWC football talk guest, Danny, was on here Monday. He's the same thing with the Jets too, where it's like Jets fans and Eagles fans are kind of like in that spot right now where they know, look, hey, this year it's a bit of a write-off. We just want to see improvements to what we can or look on stuff to improve on in 2022. Like even if you look at the Jets too, they're hoping Seattle sucks this year because then they have their first round pick, which Danny with the football NFL Twitter tweet of the year so far with that reverse Uno card on the Jamal Adams trade.
That was great.
It was a fantastic tweet. And then you have Giants fans, which I feel like there are some who they're in that position I was in last year where their team isn't as good as people like they're not as good as like they want to believe they are. But I think they think that they're this good team that can make the playoffs, but they're 1-4. So I feel like when reality starts to set in that, hey, they're probably not going to make the playoffs this year. Yeah. I think there's more questions there than there are in Philly. I feel like Philly this year is a figure it out year. And then what you want to see is more, hey, a 5-year window as opposed to a 2-3-year window, what we see with a lot of these contending teams.
I will say the Giants are definitely closer to being a winning team than the Eagles are, even though the records don't reflect that. Just because I think Daniel Jones has taken a big step forward this year. The Giants definitely have more decisions to make. What are they going to do? That defense, though, I don't understand it. Like last year, they were just that was the highlight of the team. And this year, it's the complete opposite. Like
Patrick Graham, revered defensive coordinator, stayed to be another year of DC to get the head coaching job, which that may have really screwed him over by staying now. Like, because who knows who's going to want to hire him.
Yeah, I mean, Bradbury isn't very good this year. I mean, granted,
Martinez is out with the ACL.
Yeah, I was going to say Martinez, they lost him for the year, but like that was supposed to be the strength of the team. And now it's like, you know, Daniel Jones is kind of carrying it, and that's without Shepard and Slayton. Those guys have been hurt, and Galladay, I mean, he's hurt every week, although he did show up the past couple. Saquon is just, you know, can't catch a break, but I don't know. I like the Giants team more than this Eagles team. This Eagles team is just a kind of a hot mess right now. They're working through it, but I'd rather be in a Giants fan position than the Eagles, to be honest with you.
Oh, I know. I'm saying the same thing too. I just feel like a lot of Giants fans, I feel like this year they thought, but you know what? Hey, we're making the playoffs. But I saw Washington too, is another team that regressed. And then it's the Dallas Cowboys who are really running that division right now. Which,
oh my God. Yeah.
Them is not more the less Dak. Like Dak came back. I wasn't surprised by that. It's the defense that surprised me because it can show truly too, how you said too, Sirianni's a rookie head coach. We see that Dan Quinn's coming back in and we now see, hey, he may not be a head coach, but he's one hell of a defensive coordinator.
Excuse me. Yeah. As far as Washington goes, like that's another team that you thought would be contending. They're disappointing. That defensive line was supposed to be a strength, and Chase Young just got his first sack last week, I think. So Washington's a mess. Dallas. I would have picked them in the preseason to win the division, but I never would have thought they would have looked this good. And that's mostly on the defense, but also like, I didn't know how Dak would come back after that injury last year. And it seems like he's better than ever, which is crazy to me. And that's without Amari Cooper doing anything on that team. So Zeke looks good. The offensive line looks good. They're a really good team this year. I want to see them play a couple of more competitive teams and see how they look then. But yeah, the Dallas looks great. They're running away with the division for sure.
I know I got to pump their tires this week. Obviously Patriots Cowboys 4:25 on Sunday, but my big thing with the Cowboys right now is I still say this because I heard this on a few shows and I believe it. I think Amari Cooper is gone after this year. I feel like they'll find a way to get out of that contract and then he'll end up somewhere else in 22. That's just me though. Cause I feel like you can ride with CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup. And even too, here's the thing, that team can make plays with Dalton. I was about to say they could get a tight end.
Yeah.
Dalton Schultz too, great tight end. And speaking on the tight ends with a D, Dawson Knox, waiver wire, pickup of the year. I said it to Danny Monday night. I'm saying it to you again. I managed to snag him in a couple of leagues and I'm running with it. I am running with it. I had to bench Kyle Pitts for it. I thought Pitts was going to be good, but I saw Knox available. Cost me zero FAB, too. Zero FAB for Knox.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny because I scooped Knox in one of my leagues, and this past week, because I don't know, I usually don't draft tight ends that high. I did in my league, I drafted Mahomes and Kelce together, so I have that stack. But the other one, I took Goddard, and Goddard has just it's on him, but it's also on the scheme. They're just not getting the balls to the tight ends right now. So I was actually trying to scoop Dawson from one of the guys, and they just wouldn't give him up. So now I'm stuck with I'm trying to get Hunter Henry on the waiver wire because he's been doing pretty well the past few weeks. But we'll see.
You'll see nothing but thumbs up for me on that move there. I know even too, you said there's going to be drama in the offseason. Like as I always tell people, look, you're going to a hockey game tonight. I can talk any sports, but football's a one year round sport. But like right now, thinking about the offseason, I'm just like, I don't want to go there. But at the same time too, we could snap our fingers and it's going to be the middle of February. That's the one thing I hate about the NFL season. You wait for it forever and then it just goes in an instant. But you're right though with the we'll talk more Dallas later, but like because we've and also too the first week for buys, my mind's going all over the place, folks. That's who I am. But I just don't want to talk about the offseason. Like it's like one of those things where it's like let's enjoy it now, and then like the offseason, it's like that TikTok trend where it's like me doing this having fun, and then it's like just peering on the corner of the wall. It's like the NFL offseason's like right there.
Oh, for sure. And listen, I'm loving the football season right now. Like believe me, I'm sitting my ass every week in that chair over there and watching Red Zone for 7 hours. And it also helps that there's an extra week of football this year. But, and if you're in a situation like the Eagles are, you have no choice but to think about the offseason because these three first round picks, potentially they are an absolute franchise game changer. Like it can go really well. Like it could turn everything around for next season. If you pick the right players, or it can go really bad. And in a season where it's like, you know, there's no expectations, we're not going to be good, we have no real choice but to look forward to the future. And the future really hinges on next year's draft and what we do with those picks. So, yeah, but I'm loving this season, man. I just the Red Zone and the fantasy football, like there's nothing better than that.
Like fantasy hockey, for example, like I can look at my roster like once every while and be like, okay, cool, I'm good to go unless an injury comes up. But fantasy football, man, I'm on tinkering rosters. I was at work yesterday and someone like was like, oh, I'm 1-4, I'm not doing good. I literally saw the roster. I'm like, okay, here, give me this. And he's like, I'm like, just at work. And I'm like, if he wins this week, I'm going to be like, you're welcome. But, I get where you're coming from though, too. Cause even that's the other thing I was gonna say about the Giants that kind of holds in their favor too. They have two first round picks as well. I think that kind of goes under the radar. That look, they have the Bears first rounder this year. So we'll see what happens here. But I just want to get in on the Sunday's action because obviously we have a full slate. The first game, we have another London game. For as much as you want to grow the game there, I'm sorry, but sending Jets, Falcons, and Jags, Dolphins does not help with that. Like,
they want to like put a game in Germany now? Like some nonsense. Like, did you hear about that? Like,
I heard Germany. They want to do Mexico City again next year. I'm saying, God, bring it here. Bring it to Canada. But I'm saying this. You give two teams in Canada who are decent, you will sell out a stadium. They tried the Bills in Toronto experiment here, but it failed horribly because they slowly realized, look, not all of Canada is Bills fans. They realized, look, there's pockets of everything. Like, I remember I went to one was Bills Bears. There was more Bears fans than Bills fans at the game. And also, I know Buffalo Bills fans hated it because it took a game away from them. But yeah, I know, like, the NFL is, like, expanding in all the weird countries. Like, the UK is one thing. And also, I'll say this, putting a team in the UK, I think, is a pipe dream that will never happen.
No.
It will never happen. But look, you give London their two games a year. If you do a game in Germany, it's whatever. But at the same time, too, it's just like, they actually, fun fact, too, I realized this, they built the stadium, the stadium that was built in London where they do these games, they built it specifically for the NFL because they have the field where the soccer's like what Tottenham plays on. And then they have another turf that comes up or another field that comes up underneath it that they use for football. So it's not so like the one they use for the English Premier League and the NFL don't crisscross each other. That was a mouthful.
I just don't like understand the point of it. Like, I feel like it's been like at least 10 years now that they've been trying this UK experiment. Like, it's been for forever. They're like, it's not, I don't see it growing in the UK. Like, why? All you're doing is taking away a home game from season ticket holders for a team.
Yeah.
Like that's what it comes down to. And, you know, Mexico City, Germany, it's like all you're, it's just a flex for the NFL. That's all they're trying to do is flex. It doesn't help the football aspect of it because, like you said, most of the games that, you know, these international games, it's with bad teams. So it's like, you know, you're not going to send, you know, the Chiefs and the Cardinals. You're never going to see a game like that overseas. I don't get it. I don't get up for the London games. They're not worth it. I'm especially not getting up for Jacksonville and Miami. You can bet your ass on that.
No, I'm the same. But like when I wake up, I'm going to turn it on and watch it. I did it last Sunday with Jets Falcons. Like I think I missed the first quarter and a half. I woke up at around 10 o'clock, 10:30. And I was like, all right, cool. I'm like, it's like one of those things, like it's nothing better on TV. I'm like, instead of watching like pregame and stuff, like I'd rather watch an actual game. That's all. It's 100%. Like we do the same thing with Thursday night football too. I did Panthers and Texans and like even Bengals, Jags. I'm like, oh God, these games are terrible. I still watched it. Like, because that's we're still fiends for the game of football.
That's different though. Like, I don't know about you, Griff. I like my sleep. I'm not waking up at 9 o'clock in the morning to watch a game like that. And if I wake up, it's usually around, well, if I wake up, I wake up every day, thankfully. I wake up at 11 o'clock every day. You know, let's say it's a 9 o'clock game. I'm probably catching the fourth quarter. Man, you know, Sunday mornings, I'm going out. I'm getting me a Taylor ham, egg, and cheese on a bagel. I'm getting me some Dunkin' Donuts. I'm not staying in my PJs and watching the damn Jets and Falcons. That's not happening. I'm getting ready. I'm preparing myself for the 1 o'clock start and sitting in the same position for 7 hours. That's my thing.
I'm the same way. I'm just saying, like, look, last Sunday was our Thanksgiving up here, and we were eating, we were like making breakfast and stuff, and I just like put it on in the background. Like, I'm not sitting on the couch being like, there. I was glad because I had a weird feeling Jets were going to win that game, and I almost bet Jets money line. I didn't, and then I woke up. I think it was like 17-3, and I was like, okay, I think that was the score. It was either 17 or 20-3, and I was just like, I'm really glad I did not bet the Jets to win this game because the Jets, Atlanta came out and looked there. But for this game Sunday,
I took them and pick them. But I mean, like if you couldn't, I thought that was going to be a game that the Jets getting that momentum from the week before. But nope, it's the Jets. So they kind of face planted.
Yeah. Fun fact about the Jets I learned. And I always like to share this. They got their name Jets because of how close when they first played was at Shea Stadium. And you obviously know Shea City Field, how close it is to LaGuardia. So that's why they called them the Jets.
The more you know. I like that.
I learned that because there was a YouTube channel called NFL Throwback, and they do like teams history, stadium histories, and they did that with the Jets because they did like how, for example, the Giants in the 50s were playing at Yankee Stadium, and the Bears played at Wrigley Field once upon a time. Hell, the Patriots played at Fenway.
Yeah.
So there's obviously none of that cross flexing anymore. But as for this game goes, I want to pick Jacksonville in an upset, and I was going to, but I learned this morning that Tua's. If, as long as everything goes well, he's going to play. So if Tua is the starting quarterback, and also too, because I'm in a spread pool. So okay. I will be setting my spread pick Saturday night just because I know, look, I'm not going to be waking up being like, I have to watch Jacksonville, Miami. No, I'm not doing that. Like I said, when I wake up, I'll just casually throw it on as like, I'm getting ready for the 1 o'clock games or making breakfast. Or if I go out, even if I go out and I miss, I don't really care. But my big thing with this game is, look, if Tua plays, I'm going Miami. If not, it's kind of, I think I still got to go Miami. But the spread's 3.5, so it's kind of like a toss-up. But I feel like, too, this is going to be like a 7-point game. I feel like it's going to be like a touchdown separating. As for the over-under, I got to say this, it's 47 right now. Very tempted. That under is very tempting.
Yeah, that seems like a lot of points to me. Yeah. And when we make these picks right now, I'll just preface it by saying this. I've been in a pick'em league that our good buddy Stevie Breach started probably, I want to say it's been at least 10 years. Like everything in my mind is 10 years. You know, the London games, 10 years, the pick'em league, 10 years. I don't know. It's been for forever. I am by far having my worst year in pick'em. So take all these picks with a grain of salt. for the people listening. I'll take Miami here. I'm not impressed by Trevor Lawrence. I'm just not. Like, I would say he's probably the worst rookie quarterback, except there's a quarterback that plays for the Jets that has just looked bad. But we'll see. Like you said, Tua's coming back. Gaskin had a huge game last week. We'll see if he carries that over into this game.
And bench.
The Jags are a dumpster fire, and I think it's only going to get worse. Urban Meyer, you knew as soon as he was hired, he wasn't going to last, and he's not going to last this season. I think, they'll lose a few more games, and then I think he's going to get fired. So I got Miami in London.
They have their bye week coming up after this, and there's been a rich history of these teams coming back from London where the coach doesn't exactly, take the flight back. He gets on the flight home, but he doesn't exactly make it back to the team facility. So I think if this game they get their asses whooped in London, like say if Miami comes out and just blows them out, I could see it. But no, I think and I'll say this with the Urban Meyer hiring. At first I was like, all right, cool, let's see what happens. It was the Chris Doyle hiring for me when they hired because it wasn't like, oh, hey, maybe this happened. No, the fact that he was bought out because of allegations of racism at Iowa, that's when I was like, okay, yeah, no, you can't do that here. Running the Oklahoma drill in the summer, that's high school shit. That is not NFL shit. Yeah. He's trying to run basically all these college coaches. I feel like they come to the NFL thinking that it's college and it just doesn't work out for them.
Yeah, you see that more often than not, that's what happens. These college coaches fail. That's not happening with Kingsbury, but no. I mean, most like 90% of the coaches that come from college, they fail. Believe me, I know as an Eagles fan, Chip Kelly, that Chip Kelly experiment did not work. We've seen it before. We've seen it with what's Nick Saban. That didn't work. Urban Meyer's is going to be gone in a few weeks.
Yeah, I think so. Because like they have their bye week, and then after that, their schedule. I want to see what they play next week. They're on bye, and then And then they're in Seattle, and then they're home to Buffalo, and then where are you, you little bastards? Oh, then they're in the and then they're that was a tongue twister for some reason. Then they're in Indy.
You got two winnable games in there, but I don't believe in the Jags. I think it's them and the Lions for the worst team in the league. And although the Lions at least put up a fight most weeks, just not in record wise, it doesn't show that. But Jags are an abomination.
Also, I'll say this too. Dan Campbell so far has looked like a better head coach than Urban Meyer, which that was a hire. Like, obviously, he came out with his blazing hot press conference, which we'll get into that game next. But one thing I'll say too is, Big Rat, hopefully you're happy with our picks. Okay, kid?
Believe me, I would love nothing more than to see the Dolphins lose, because that just helps the Eagles in the end.
That's right.
Yeah, we have Miami's pick for next year. So I'm loving that they keep losing. But this week it's just like, I wouldn't be surprised if Jags pulled the upset, and I'm rooting for the Jags, selfishly, but yeah, I think Miami has this one.
Completely understand. I'm the same. The next one on the docket, it's Bengals at Lions. Like I said, look, I like Dan Campbell. I know a lot of people making fun of him crying last week. I kind of liked it that he was showing that his passion and his emotions were, I just like it. Cause he kind of showed that he's here, he wants to see them succeed, and that when victory is man, that just gotta suck to be a Lions fan. The fact that you've had victory just snatched from you. You've gotten basically kicked in the balls twice in the last 3 weeks at the buzzer by Justin Tucker and who's the kick? Greg Joseph, the kicker for the Vikings. My thing with this game, Bengals, they're one of my surprise teams of the year so far. I just can't see the Lions winning.
I don't know, man. I think it could be a trap game, especially Lions are at home. They find ways to lose, but they're in these games. Campbell, he's a cornball. I'm sure the Lions fans love it. So is Sirianni though. Like, he wears these t-shirts and it's like, dude, you don't know anything about Eagles history. Like, he's wearing Jeremiah Trotta shirts. I'm like, okay, you're pandering. I get it. So
the Dallas shirt
kind of, yeah, they're kind of cut from the same cloth. So I understand the love for Dan Campbell. You know, I think Burrow is just taking a step forward this year, yeah. And Ja'Marr Chase is a beast right now. He's the rookie of the year.
Their defense looked really good.
Defense has looked improved. So yeah, while I think it could be a trap game for Cincinnati, I'll still take the Bengals. But we'll see. We'll see how the Lions come out trying to fight for that first win.
Give me 24-21 Bengals win.
That sounds about right. I would probably say like 20-17 Bengals.
I was just about to say 20-17 as well. That was my other score.
Yeah. I think Cincinnati has it though.
We're just chugging along here. We got Chiefs at football team. It's a 6.5-point spread in Kansas City. 1-4 on the year against the spread. And that same spread pool I'm in with my dad. Week one, I told him, take Cleveland. He didn't bite it. Week two, I think I took them just because I was like, you know what, it's Baltimore. Week three against the Chargers, same thing. And then last week I took Bills. I had a feeling the Bills were going to win this game. I want to go football team at 6.5. But this game right here, it screams Big 12 football. Like something like what the game the Eagles had with you guys, like, you know, like the, like a 40-30 and like something, like, yeah, something of that nature where, look, this, the Chiefs are like what the Cowboys were the last few years. They'll go as far as Mahomes takes them. As long as Mahomes can play mistake-free football, they'll win games. If he makes mistakes, that's when they're going to lose football games, as we've seen.
Yeah, that defense is horrendous.
Just can't tackle to save his life.
No, it's a total mess right now. And I think that's why, you know, on paper, that spread should be way more points to the football team. Like 6.5 points is like, if you told me week one that the Chiefs would only be giving Washington 6.5 points, I would have been like, dude, bet your fucking life savings on that. Can we curse on this?
Yes, of course.
Bet your life savings 6.5 points. Like the Chiefs are going to blow them out. But then you see, like, dude, the defense is just a train wreck. So does Heinicke like have his best career game? I wouldn't be surprised. This is going to go either two ways. Number one, the Chiefs somehow just get their defense together. They blow Washington out like 40-20. Or this is going to come down to like Mahomes on a game winning drive, winning it for them. Like it just, I don't think there's any in between. I think this should be the game that gets Kansas City back on track in a big way. So that I'm taking Kansas City. I'm leaning towards if you know, you're betting the spread, I might still bet Kansas City. Like I think they're pissed off. They're 2-3. They're the worst team in their division. I think they want to make a statement, and this is a good team to make it against. So I think Kansas City wins this one.
I'm gonna walk back my score because the over under is 54.5 points.
That's, you gotta take the over 100%.
I'm going to say like 31-27, like in a game where Washington, I feel like more or less the ball is going to be in Washington's hands to go downfield and win it. And then they like, they just don't get it on. Like, say it's like a long, like say 4th and 12, and then they don't convert, or like Heinicke throws like a game ending interception. Yeah. I'm still, like I said, I'm doing this. So I'm taking the Chiefs to win, but I'm taking the points. I'm taking the 6.5. Okay. I just, until the Chiefs can go out there and show that they're capable of, covering on multiple occasions. Because even too, last year, they had the same record against the spread as Jacksonville at 7-9.
Yeah.
They're not a gambler. They're not, for gambling, they're a man's worst enemy. Like even last year too, they had the Carolina spread, which was like 11, and they lost by, they won by a point. And the same thing too, Atlanta should have taken them to overtime, but they, Younghoe Koo missed a field goal at the buzzer, or like with, I think, 45 seconds left. But that's how I paint this picture.
Yeah, I think that this is going to be the game that puts Kansas City back on track. If I were to give a score, Kansas City 37, will go 20-23 Washington. 37-23.
I will say this, though. If the football team do score more than 30 points and the Chiefs still win, you put up a fucking red flag for that defense. Because, like, I'm sorry, they're, like, you do not see a Super Bowl caliber team allowing 30 points a game.
No, they better find some guys at the deadline to get on that defense, because you might not even make the playoffs if in that division. You might not even make the playoffs if you don't get that defense straightened out.
Because guess what, too? The team that's in first place in your division had the game of the year. I'm still calling that game of the year until something else comes along, that Cleveland-LA game.
Oh, that was fantastic. Fantastic game.
That's Madden on easy. That's Madden on easy mode.
Yeah.
Vikings at Panthers. The spreads actually went up from a point to 2.5 for the Vikings. I feel like I pumped Carolina's tires a little too hard, and I feel like both these teams – Barstool is a podcast called Part of My Take. I don't know how into Barstool you are.
And, not at all.
Okay. And they basically have this one where they always go, and are we sure they're good game? That's what I feel like this is. I feel like the winner is like, okay, you know what? Whoever wins this game, it's like, all right, maybe they're good. But then whoever loses this game, it's like, all right, yeah, they're not as good as we thought they were. Because like, these are both teams that I saw potentially pushing for the playoffs this year. Both teams.
Yeah.
Minnesota's disappointed me, and Carolina has come back to earth ever since going 3-0.
Yeah. Speaking from experience, obviously last week the Eagles beat the Panthers. Yeah. Carolina is very beatable without McCaffrey. Darnold looked awful. It was funny. Like, if you watch that game last week, it was like Hurts and Darnold were the same quarterback. They were making the same kind of mistakes, missing wide open throws. Darnold did have more turnovers, but Darnold is struggling without McCaffrey. And I would have picked the Panthers if McCaffrey was going to play this week. It looks like he's going to be doubtful again. So if that's the case, I think Minnesota takes this one. Dalvin's coming back this week, but even when he's healthy, it's just like the offense still isn't clicking the way it should. Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, Dalvin Cook, like what is going wrong on that offense? But I think Carolina is just they're floundering right now without Christian. So I'll take Minnesota.
I did this off camera. As I was off camera, I was going like this because I'm going Skull Vikings. Yes. I'm going Skull Vikings this week. But I'm just looking, as you were talking, I was looking up the stats, and you're right. Hurts 22 for 37, Darnold 21 for 37, Hurts 198 yards, Darnold 177, one touchdown and three picks, and a QBR of 44.5 for Darnold. Hurts had zero touchdowns with an intercept, zero thrown with a pick, and a 62 rating. So not the best game, but you're right. Look, the Eagles found a way to win.
And really, it was all about Hurts getting it together in the fourth quarter. Like, that's what it was. Like, the first three quarters, he wasn't very good. He was arguably playing worse than Darnold. But he just turned it around in that fourth. And Darnold just looked real, real bad that game. But, you know, I mean, small sample size, because the rest of the games, he's pretty much, you know, rushing all these touchdowns. And, you know, he's looked better than he was in New York. But still, I think he really needs his safety net in Christian McCaffrey.
Exactly. And also, too, the over-under for this game is 44. Like, I want to say either under or push for this game. I see it like 21. I'm going to go 21-20 that the Vikings pull. I think the Vikings just barely pull out a victory again.
44.5 is a little high. I would probably take the under on that one, yeah, too.
44. Like, no, it's not 44.5.
Oh, 44?
Yeah, 44 on the – yeah, let me see. Oh, never mind. Shit, it's 46. Yeah, take the under.
Oh, yeah, that's what's way too high. Definitely take the under on that.
Yeah, 44 was I misread the 4 for a 6 for some reason. I don't know why, but yeah, no, take the under on that game if you're betting. Like, that's, you know what? I do it every Sunday on my TikTok, and I upload it to Instagram. That is going to be my under of the week, my over-under of the week. It's got to be that game, Panthers-Vikings. Texans at Colts. This is a game, 10-point spread for the Colts. Man, I got to say this because last week I almost was about to fucking lose it. Take the Texans on the points here, but give me the Colts to win the game. I'm just going to say it as plainly as that.
Same thing. I'll take the Colts. And again, I'm rooting for Houston, although it is a little tough because, you know, more so with the Colts, because it would be hard. Like, I don't see it happening, but because it would just be a bad look. But if the Colts just keep losing and they realize, like, hey, if we don't bench Carson, we're going to lose our first round pick. If they were to do that, Carson isn't mentally strong enough to handle that kind of that kind of decision, as you saw him just being the biggest crybaby in Philadelphia. You have him for however many years. I don't think that you can get away with that, benching him at the end of the season. Like, even you can explain to him all that you want, that it's just solely to keep that first round pick. He's not going to care. He's a head case. I'm a little torn. Like, maybe if they win, it's good, because then, you know, the talks of benching Carson subside. But at the same time, like, you have a better chance of a better pick if they keep losing. I think the Colts still win. Jonathan Taylor's a stud. I know you're a big Michael Pittman fan. This is the podcast. Michael Pittman podcast. So yeah, and he looked great last week. I've got the Colts in this one too.
Yeah, that man, I love the fact that his first touchdown of the year was caught when we were recording. I fucking lost it when he got that touchdown.
To that show.
Oh, I love to hear it. Yeah, Danny and I put on a good show. But no, like, Davis Mills, like, he did look good last week, but then the Texans, like, they do a thing that a lot of teams do, like a lot of bad teams do, is when they're up big, they'll take the foot off the gas pedal. And then that's why I think they lost the game against the Patriots. Cause I'll say this, if the Patriots had a game like that against the Cowboys, cause I'm going to go a different direction. How you said, pick them, you're horrible. Cause look, 2 weeks ago, the Patriots nearly beat the Buccaneers in a game. Everyone thought that Brady was going to come in and just wipe the floor.
Yeah.
Last week, we almost lose to the Texans. Like, the NFL is a fucking weird place this year. It's a weird
it place. Is. It, honestly, like, the bad teams are bad, the good teams are good, but everybody in the middle, it can go one way or another. Which is, you know, kind of a good thing. It definitely helps, you know, if you're somebody that watches these games all day on Sunday and, you know, you typically think, oh, yeah, this is going to be a blowout, and then it turns out to be a close game, and so it helps in that sense. But, yeah, that middle kind of, like, 500 teams, they all go either way. Like, I don't you know, there's just so much parity in the league this year, which I dig. So
same, you like to see parity. You like, for as much as upsets piss us off for, like, gambling reasons or survival reasons, thank you, the Saints. Mine was Saints against Giants that week too. I got torched on Twitter because the second I saw Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton go down, I'm like, you know what, Saints at 7.5 points. It's their first game back in the dome with a full building in almost 2 years. The Hurricane, they had to move for a week. I'm like, how can the Saints lose this game? And they found a way to lose this game, and it cost me a strike. It cost me money line, it cost me spread, and it cost me a strike at survival. I'm in a 2-strike survival league.
Yeah, what was that, week one? I think it was week one. I had a big-time parlay hitting. I don't remember what the other three teams were, but I hit on all three. And then the 4 o'clock window came around, and it was Denver at Giants. And I picked the Giants just because, you know, I wasn't impressed with what the Broncos did in the offseason. I thought they would be okay. But again, you expected something completely different from that Giants defense going into the season. And I lost. Thankfully, I cashed out. It was a $20 parlay. It would have hit something like $400-something. At one point, I could have cashed out at the 1 o'clock window when the other three hit. I could have cashed out at 220-something, maybe 240-something, and I let it ride, and it went all the way down to $23. So I cashed out $3 ahead on that parlay. Everything else I've missed on this year, so I kind of just stopped doing parlays because it's like, I'm not even coming close at this point. I don't know what it is. I can't pick these teams this year, so I stopped doing that.
I don't want to go on and on about this, but you obviously listen on Monday nights, so you know about my
Breaking news. Ooh. Breaking news, Griff.
Oh,
Just got a Fantasy Life. Are you on the Fantasy Life app?
No, I am Yahoo, so but good. I'm going to open Twitter.
You get all, like, real-time updates straight to your phone. Eagles are sending 3-time Pro Bowl Zach Ertz to the Arizona Cardinals in exchange for Tay Gowan and a 2022 fifth-round pick.
Jesus Christ. Kai, you literally gave the kid another fucking toy to play with. They lost Max Williams to a gruesome knee injury last week. Holy shit. This – fuck, man. I've always been a quasi-Cardinal fan, man. This – they're going for it. Steve Keim is literally putting it, like putting his, I'm going to say this to sound weird. He's putting his nuts on the table, because if this works to make the playoffs, he can get a lifetime extension with that team, because he's been there for over 20 years. If this fails and they miss the playoffs, him and Kingsbury are gone. I know it's like, I've been on that train since January.
That offense is scary, man. Like, oh my God, they're loading up. And, you know, I don't know, man. I love Zach Ertz. I knew it was coming. I figured, you know, we were keeping him all off season. We were like, yeah, we got to find somebody. I know your boy Bill Belichick was trying to get him, and it didn't work out.
We were fine.
Well, now you are. And he stayed with the team, and I really thought, you know, maybe this was the last year. But, I mean, I guess the Goddard COVID thing is a blessing in disguise, because you showcased Zach Ertz last night and he looked pretty good, and you finally got some kind of value. Fifth round pick, you know, it is what it is. I'm not familiar with Tay Gowan. Do you know, are you have any inside stuff about Tay Gowan?
I've heard of him as a prospect and stuff. He's like, he's okay. In the league I'm in with Matt Lorenzo, I just picked up Ertz on the he was a free agent, so I just sniped him. So sorry, I know you're in that league too, Tick Ticklers. So I just sniped
Don't I have what's his name on the? Who do I have as my tight end? I got Dawson Knox. There you go.
Oh,
the circle of life. I have Dawson Knox on that team. But yeah, I literally, like, after I saw that alert, I was trying to go and check the teams and see if I could pick him up. But then I realized, like, most leagues, Zach Ertz is locked because he already played. But yeah, for whatever reason, like, Matt's league is just kind of crazy where you can just pick up these players like that. But yeah, that's, man, that's a hell of a pickup for Arizona.
They're fucking going for it. They are going for it. Also, I guess
that's pretty good value too. Like a fifth rounder, and you know, whoever the hell Tay Gowan is, like, why not go for it? And he's on a 1 year deal, so like, you know, you're not locked into a contract. So
I know Bills fans were kind of clamoring for Zach Ertz, but I feel like that too ended up working out just fine for them. Where they got Dawson Knox. I only say the Patriot thing because I remember going into free agency, I was like, okay, I want Jonnu or Hunter Henry. Hunter Henry was one, Jonnu was two. When we got Jonnu, I'm like, okay, I'm at work the next day. I get an alert from, I think it was Diana Rossini or Adam Schefter. And like, Patriots just signed Hunter Henry. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? But I'll say this, I'll talk about the Patriots later. Let's get back to the games. Rams at Giants. I think I know both know where we're going, but do you take the points for the Giants or the Rams? It's 9. I don't know. I raised my eyebrows there, but I was just like, "That's 9. Oh, it's like, that's
tempting." I'm taking the Rams points. That's easy. Maybe if Saquon was healthy, I don't know what's going on with the receivers this week. I don't know. Galladay's out. I don't know what's going on with Shepard. I don't know what's going on with Slayton.
Jones too.
Jones. Like that. That just seems like it might be a Mike Glennon game, and that's going to be messy.
Yeah, that's good. Man, you expect me to pick Mike Glennon over Matt Stafford? No, thank you. Sorry, Giants fans. I can't do it. I can't do it.
I blame you.
So we have two games this week that really entice me. Three, because one's on Monday. But we have two Sunday games that really entice me. This is the first one at 1:00. Chargers at Ravens. I'm going Chargers.
Man, Chargers. I don't remember. What's the line on that?
The over under is 51.5. The line is Baltimore at 2.5.
You know, Ravens are at home, right? Think just listen, I know this is a completely different Chargers team than years in years past. But at the end of the day, I really struggle like getting past that they are the Chargers, and they just, when you think that they get their stuff together, they lose a big game, or they just find ways to lose. Like, we've seen this over the years. And Lamar just balled out last week, had his best game by far, in the NFL. You know what? I'm going to take the Ravens. I'm taking the Ravens at home. Would it be surprising to me if Los Angeles pulled it out? Not at all. Just a gut feeling. But again, I've been horrible at pick'em this year, so don't listen to me.
That's all good. I would have taken the Ravens too. I'm taking the Chargers to cover, but this like screams like 35 to like 31, that kind of score. Like, you know, where it's just back and forth, kind of like what we saw the Chargers do with the Chargers do against the Browns last week. Now it's a different AFC North team. I just think this is kind of that game that Justin Herbert can really put his name on the map. Obviously he's done that before, but you know what I mean though?
Big spot, for sure.
Big team. I know he beat Mahomes. I know he beat Baker, but the fact that you're going on the road, you're going to the East Coast, that's a big, big ask for a lot of these teams. Because I know a lot of teams who have that coast-to-coast travel, they're probably going to be leaving today from L.A. to go to Baltimore. So if the Chargers lose a close one, it shouldn't be, oh, the Chargers this, the Chargers that. This is still going to – like I think regardless, it's going to be either, oh, was Lamar a one-week wonder, or, oh, is Herbert really who he thought he was? So that's the overreaction the media loves to do that we do not do here on YWC Football Talk.
Yeah, I would have loved to see this game flex to Sunday night. I know that Ravens just played on Monday night, but, you know, I guess it gives them a little extra time on Sunday to get it together. But, I mean, listen, I feel like the Chiefs are on primetime every week and the Cowboys are on primetime every week. There's no reason why that the damn Seahawks and Steelers are on Sunday night this week. Like, I'm pretty sure this was the first week where they could have started flexing, I want to say.
Or last. It's week five or week six. It's one of the two. I have a rant for that for later.
Yeah. So I would have loved that this game to be on there, but it is what it is. But yeah, I got the Ravens.
All right, cool. I have a whole rant for Sunday Night Football saved up for later because there's another game I would have liked to have seen flexed. Bears versus Packers. I want to take Bears in an upset, but I'm not going to. And here's another kicker to that. The Bears are 1-9 in the last 10 games against the Bears. It's either 1-9 or 1-10 in like the last time, all the time.
Against the Packers.
Against the Packers.
Okay.
Like, this is a game though that if the Bears win, this is like, you know, I said the Chargers put on the map. This could be a true Justin Fields coming out party game. If not only if he, even if they lose, I feel like if they lose, but he shows that, look, he hangs with Aaron Rodgers, that really can be his like claim to fame moment where everyone's like, all right, cool, we believe in the kid, we think he's good. But at the same time too, look, it's Rodgers, it's the Bear, it's the Packers against the Bears. I'm still salty about the game 2 years ago that should have been the Patriots opening, raising their banner, but no, stupid NFL 100 had to open with that crappy 10-3 Bears Packers game. I'll always hold that against the league, but give me the Cheeseheads to win this game. Go Pack, go.
Yeah, I'm not a believer in the Bears, and especially now that Damian Williams got COVID and they're down to their third string rookie running back. So it's going to be like an all rookie game on that offensive side of the ball for the Bears with Fields and the running back. Yeah, I got Green Bay in this one. You know, they started rough in the season, but they're starting to get it together. I don't think that they're a serious contender in the NFC, but they are better than the Bears. The Bears are at home, but I still have the Packers here.
I'm in the same boat. I have the I think we both have the Packers winning. I said the go back go thing. My only thing is though is if Khalil Mack has an All-Pro day, that's the only reason why I can see the Bears hanging in close. The spread for this one is 6 points, and the over/under is at 44. I don't know what happened there. I think my ear kind of went that way, but my headset. But no, I gotta say, give me the points. Give me the points. Give me 27-14. Packers win.
I'll give you 27-20 Packers.
Yeah. So you know how I told you earlier that there was another game I wanted to see flexed into Sunday Night Football? That's this one. Browns versus Cardinals.
100%.
This again, like, you have the Baker versus Kyler, their buddies. They razz each other in the offseason, which Kyler Murray didn't even know what that meant. That was a hilarious video clip I saw. But with this game right here, this can scream future Super Bowl potentially. I think in a few, like, not maybe not this year, maybe in a few years down the road. I know it's a bit of an overreaction, but look, we didn't break it, but we announced live on the pod the trade between the Cardinals and the Eagles, a couple birds. So Zach Ertz still saying a bird, just going from red to green, from green to red, excuse me. But this over under is at 49.5. Give me the damn points. Give me the points.
I have a question.
Shoot.
Would Zach be able to play on Sunday?
I don't think so. I think because
he already got paid. He probably, it's like a pay thing, right? He already got paid for this past week. He wouldn't get like a double paycheck or something like that.
I don't even think he'll fly to, he may fly to Arizona today. And I don't even think he'll travel with the team to Cleveland. I think it'll be a big announcement. And then the Cardinals next week, they don't have a bye. They play home to the Houston Texans. So if you really want a game if you're daily fantasy next week, take DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins is going to ball out next Sunday. Quote me on that one.
Cardinals are clicking right now. Like offensively, like it's unbelievable. You know, they resurrected AJ Green somehow.
James Conner.
I like
JJ Watt's been looking all right.
100%. I like the Cardinals in this game. It's going to come down to if they can stop Hunt and Chubb. If they can do that, I think that this is going to be a good win for Arizona. But if they can't, it's going to be a long game because, listen, Odell, he's just not the same guy. And you need – I know they just activated Landry to start practicing again. He's not going to play in this game. But Baker, I think in games like this, like he didn't need it last week with the Rams, but that's also because Chubb and Hunt were running all over the place. But if you stop that run game, you're going to put pressure on Baker, and we'll see. I think Arizona does take this one though.
I think so too, because I think if the Cardinals go 6-0, that's like the for real. Like this is a winner. Whoever wins this game is going to look good. But at the same time, too, I feel like the Browns need the win more than Arizona, especially after last week in LA. But I'm still going Cardinals to win because until proven otherwise, the Cardinals are a really good football team. They got the monkey off their back by beating the Rams in LA, which they made the Rams look really bad. But as for this game goes, give me the points on this one. Like I said, it's only 49.5 and the spread's 3.5. I want to go a little scorigami here. I'm going to go 38-31 Cardinals win.
I got 31-28 Cardinals. So it's going to be a shootout for sure.
Yeah, in theory, I've been saying this since last week when I realized, when Russell Wilson got hurt, I'm like, put this game on Sunday Night Football. They're not doing it. And as soon as I saw the advertisement on Sunday night, I was like, ugh, but we have two more games to talk about before we get into that one. And the next one is, because this is the thing, we've done this entire podcast, and we have not talked about the John Gruden stuff. I don't know how much more there is to talk about it. I don't really.
Yeah, it's a mess right now. Like, it just, you know, he's a piece of shit.
I feel bad for Carl Nassib.
Yeah, that too. Listen, I think the entire league are a bunch of hypocrites. That doesn't mean that I'm justifying what Gruden did at all, because I think he's a piece of shit. But at the same time, like, how are you only exposing those emails, but you're not putting anything out about Dan Snyder or anybody like that? Like, there's 650,000 emails. You're going to tell me that Gruden's the only one who, you know, said this kind of stuff? Like, you're protecting certain people, and, you know, I'm not with that. Either cover everything up or let everything out. You can't just pick and choose.
So what I'm about to hold up, this is going to be for people watching on YouTube. So this is a Tom Brady Funko Pop, but there's a reason behind this. Right here, you can see this little shield. It's all about protecting the shield, unfortunately, and that's the fucked up world of the NFL. That's the only thing I got to say with that. So, look, I see too. I feel bad for NASA because he had to take a personal day. You like the stuff he said in the emails, like calling, like what he said about Michael Sam, just everything in general. Like, it's a black stain on the league that we don't want to see, especially in today's more progressive society. And I know it's going to be an awkward swerve here, but for this game, with all this crap going on, I just can't see a way that the Raiders get the win. I just can't see it. I just can't see the Raiders winning, especially too. They have to go to Denver. It's not like it's a home game in Las Vegas, which that first home game is next week when who's going? Oh, it's the Philadelphia Eagles going to Las Vegas next week. So I think this is just one of those things that, look, it came out of nowhere. It did, well, it kind of was like, okay, it's here, but then it really just ballooned out of control. But like I said, this is going to be a really ugly football game, and I think give me the Broncos to rebound.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't see. I mean, who knows? There could be an upset, but I like Denver this year. We'll see what happens, but yeah, I think I had the Broncos in that one too.
Yeah, it's only 43.5, and it's the 43.5 point over under, and it's a 4 point spread. I don't even want to say a score. I think for the over under, I think you're going to get right around that point total, like somewhere around 43. The reason,
all right. Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh shit! What's going on?
We have a special guest in the house. Here he is. You're going to see him come up the stairs.
If you're watching on YouTube, Matt, holy shit!
Fucking Lorenzo.
There he is. Anything can happen. Anything can happen on holy this podcast, shit. Ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, we've broken the Zach Ertz trade news. We just have Matt Lorenzo come.
I just heard about it. Who did they give up for him?
Hey, Gowan in a fifth.
Yeah, like a cornerback and a fifth round pick. I don't know.
It didn't take long. Had a good game last night and then gone.
Matt making his first appearance since episode 100, folks.
That's true.
Yes, it is. Holy shit, Matt Lorenzo here in the flesh. I wasn't sure it was going to happen.
I told you.
I don't think I've seen you since the home opener of like 2019.
I think so.
And I haven't seen you since. I know we're on computer right now. Holy, it's like you're
heating. I know,
you're
so weird.
Yeah,
it's
so weird.
We're doing this on Monday with Ramey. So.
Yes, that's folks. That's your
crossover.
Breaking news, folks. Matt Lorenzo, Chris Ramey, and myself Monday night. I just had to confirm with Ramey, but I feel like it works.
He's going to be on.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be on. Yeah.
Which,
fucking Ramey.
We've been talking about all the games, Matt. We're going through them. We talked a bit about last night, some other stuff.
Talking shit about the Giants, and
I was hoping the Eagles would win because they're going to have three top 10 picks now.
I know, that's
fucking ridiculous.
Saying.
I forgot about that. Great Jaylen Waddle trade, awesome. So Giants are going to finish last again next year.
You guys have two picks though.
The Bears are going to end up being good for some reason, and we'll have like the fifth pick and then like the 13th, and screw that up.
If it makes you feel better, we both have the Bears losing this Sunday against the Packers.
I'll save all of my rants for Monday, but yeah.
Hey, sounds good. Well, actually, the next game we got to talk about here, it's my specialty, boys. It's the Cowboys at the Patriots. Dallas is a 3.5-point favorite. Over-under is at 50.5 points. I'm going to bluntly say this.
This is going to be a blowout, Griff. I hope you know that, right? Like,
I don't want to believe.
Only 3.5?
Yeah, it's only 3.5.
Cowboys are going to stomp a mud hole in that ass and walk it dry. I hate to break it to you, but, like, this is going to be an ugly, ugly game. Like, I would say like a 27-13 game. Dallas defense is just unbelievable this year.
Unless they find a way to shut down like CeeDee Lamb, or because that's the thing too. Like we were talking about earlier, Dallas is such a versatile offense where if you shut down like say Cooper and CeeDee, they can give it to Ezekiel Elliott. You get to him. Oh, they have Dalton Schultz they can throw to. This Dallas Cowboys offense is just so versatile that I think, especially too, because the Patriots, I will say this, that was an ugly win last Sunday against the Houston Texans. They should have lost the game. But we say this too, the NFL. Look, this is a weird NFL world where – because we're on the Pats now. The Pats, everyone expected the Bucs to stop a mud hole in them. Lost by two. Patriots expected to beat the Texans. It was an 8.5-point spread. The Patriots won by three. I'm saying anything can happen, but at the same time too, I'm not going to give a score because I don't like doing that with the Pats. But I think it's like a 14-17-point Dallas victory. I think Dallas wins by more than – it's at least a two-possession Dallas win on
Sunday.
It's
going to be ugly.
Yeah.
What did the Giants lose by? 17 or something like that after a pick six? Patriots will probably keep it close.
I don't think they'll
win. There's just – but every
44
year
to 20.
Every year I feel like I'm saying this is the weirdest NFL year I've ever seen, and, like, just the weirdest stuff happens every year. So if the Patriots end up winning by 10, like, I have to root for the Patriots. It sucks, but I'm going to root for the Patriots.
I mean, I'm rooting for the Patriots,
but they're not going to win.
Yeah, I don't think Matthew Judon can play in the secondary to cover all those guys. So, this isn't going to be close, Griff. I hate to break it to you.
That's a battle I'm looking most forward to, is though the Patriots front four against the Dallas O-line. That's the battle I'm most excited to see how that plays out.
I'm excited to see Ezekiel Elliott versus the Pylon, the rematch. Did you see he's still sore from the pylon? I hate that guy so much.
He's a piece of shit.
I'm really bad for this podcast. I'm just like, I have so much hate in my heart, especially for Ezekiel Elliott, because he looks like a Snapchat filter, and I hate that guy's face. I hate him so much.
Get the fucking nose ring, looks like a bull.
I hate that guy.
Oh my God.
How he showed up to the draft, fucking, how he showed up at the draft rocking the crop top fucking dress shirt.
Disgusting. Douche. Anyway.
Yeah, but no, we come to the end of the Sunday slate. In a game, like, look, I'm going to come out and say this. This is the first Sunday night football game I honestly could give two shits about with the Seahawks and the Steelers. We talked about this right before you walked in. Matt, we literally talked about this before we came in. I want Browns Cardinals, which is at 4 o'clock. I wanted that flexed into Sunday night as soon as, like,
much better.
Or there's also Chargers and Ravens. One of those two would be way better, even though the Chargers just played Monday night.
Can they flex this early?
Nah, it's too late. I think it started already, but they just didn't do it.
That's a brutal Sunday night game. I have to work all day, and that's the one game I'm going to get to watch? No thanks.
Like, that's like, literally, like, the Seahawks, well, the Steelers are a 5-point favorite, but it's only 42.5 points in this, like, 42 over under.
Who's Seattle's starting quarterback?
Geno Smith.
Oh, my God, I hate that guy, too. I came in at the right time. You're just hitting all the buttons that I don't like.
It's Ben Roethlisberger versus Geno Smith on NBC Sunday Night Football.
I mean, the Steelers are going to win, but, like, boy, that's going to be an ugly game, just football-wise. Just Roethlisberger, they got to fucking wheel him in a wheelchair. He can't move. He can't do anything. But, you know, at least there's some semblance of a offense there. Seattle's just a mess.
Even defensively too, they can't. It's like Kansas City. They like that their defensive prime is gone. I feel like the Seahawks are always trying to recreate the Legion of Boom, but it's just they never do it. Yeah, it's not possible.
That's gonna be as ugly as that Super Bowl they had was. That was one of the worst Super Bowls in recent memory. This seems like it's gonna be even worse.
What, the Seahawks-Broncos Super Bowl?
Seahawks Steelers, Ben's first Super Bowl.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Defense carried them. It was one of the worst games ever.
Yeah, everyone says that too. And also, I don't really remember much, but I remember the one biggest thing I remember about that game was the Hines Ward touchdown, the one that he threw. He caught it. I think it was a flea flicker. That, and then apparently that game was like rife with controversy with the refing and everything. The officiating.
Oh, it was terrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they say Ben has two Super Bowls. He's got like 1.5 because he didn't really do anything in that Super Bowl.
Think about that. He could have had two, because even two, the one, if it weren't for that amazing Santonio Holmes catch.
Yeah, that's true.
I give him more credit than the catch. The throw was perfect. Like
that,
like,
and the James Harris amazing pick six.
All they had to do is get three there. Just don't give up a 99-yard pick six, and you probably win the Super Bowl. That's a tough pill to swallow
if you're a Cardinals fan.
Yeah, that's brutal.
Yeah, but no, the only Super Bowl I look at in recent memory that was terrible, like, obviously a lot of people say Rams-Patriots, but I'm a little biased in that stance. Mine is Broncos.
I mean, it was a good result for you, but that game that game sucked.
Yeah, but for me, it was Broncos and Panthers. That same thing, too. Manning was carried to the Super Bowl by that defense.
Yep. I'm rooting for Seattle though, just to fuck with Danny and his first round pick from Seattle. Just let Seattle keep winning.
Sure. All right.
And then it just it's better for us too, because we have the three first rounders, hopefully.
I don't like the Steelers.
They are the most boring sports team. Like, all of sports, they're the most boring team ever. Like, unless you're a Steelers fan, nobody actively watches the Steelers, like, unless it's like a primetime game and it's like, okay, yeah, but if it's like a 4 o'clock game and you have, you know, the game pass or whatever, you're not watching a fucking Steelers game.
The worst 11-0 team of all time last year.
Oh my God.
11-0, and I was like, this team is so bad, I don't understand how they keep winning.
And then they lost to the football team. They lost to the Bengals on Monday Night Football. Remember that? Fucking Ryan Finley, a quarterback for the Bengals.
Ridiculous.
And then they got stomped by the fucking Browns in the playoffs.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Fuck the Steelers. Also because, you know, it's the other Pennsylvania team, so fuck them.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Fucking Keystone State.
What we got on Monday night, Griff?
Bills at Titans.
If Josh Allen does not light the Titans up, I'm going to freaking flip out.
Bills at Titans. Bills are tough right now. Like, they look like a powerhouse in the AFC. Titans, if you stop, which is a big if, but if you stop Derrick Henry, they're going to struggle. And especially, you know, A.J. Brown just
Don't even get me started.
Like, don't get me started either, because I have him in your league, and he's so frustrating. Oh. Even without Julio Jones last week, you would think, oh yeah, maybe, you know, this will be no nothing. So, but he's coming, and then Julio might play this week. But yeah, I'm not. You know me, Griff. Me and Ricky with the RT17. Not a fan of Tannehill. So, you know, I think the Bills win, but it's in Tennessee, right? So yep, it could go either way.
Well, remember last year too? This game was in Tennessee, and Derrick Henry fucking made Josh Norman his bitch.
Derrick Henry makes
Josh
a lot
Norman's
of people
not playing
his
anymore.
Bitch.
No, but don't you remember that? It was that red.
Oh yeah,
was,
yeah, I know.
This is the game that was moved so much because of COVID. And I remember I got into it with a fucking Titans fan. It was either on TikTok or Twitter because the Titans were being like, oh, look at us puffed out with our chest. What?
I said you're always getting into it with people.
Yeah, I know.
Twitter or TikTok.
Or people are getting it in with him.
Yeah. We literally brought up the two things. One, you guys shredding me for the Saints spread 2 weeks ago against the Giants.
It's so much fun. to at least get some joy out of the Giants winning is that he tweeted like three or four times.
Yeah, he doubled and tripled down.
Somehow won.
I hammered it. As soon as I saw Slayton and Shepard out, I'm like, fuck, Saints 7.5, you know, easy money. And then they go to overtime. As soon as they went to overtime and Jabril Peppers won the toss, I'm fucking not covering.
Well, you couldn't have covered anyway.
No.
If they scored a touchdown, they don't kick the extra points. So.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, the Giants make no sense. Like, we'll get into it on Monday, but like, yeah, don't even get me started. I'm trying to enjoy my day today, so let's not talk about the Giants.
That, and then also my little mistake last week where I accidentally said Jets -3.5 instead of +3.5.
You're on a roll.
And he's like,
you're on a roll.
Because if you just look at the conversation, you're like, this guy is so stupid. What is he talking about? And then you realize, oh, he probably didn't realize he said the wrong thing. And then he keeps doubling down, not realizing he made a mistake. So I was like, okay, that makes more sense. Look at the conversation from a neutral corner, you're like, what the hell is this guy talking about?
I literally have had like two very bad weeks on Twitter. I was like, Bobby, I told you on like TikTok, Instagram, I post what my favorites are. And Matt like literally retweeted, did the Saints cover? And he commented, oh, but did the Saints cover? And I was just
I knew that's the only Giants win they were going to have for so long. I was like, I'm going to at least get as much joy out as this I can.
Oh my God.
That's a good time.
Exactly. Like, you know what? Like, look, sometimes you got to eat crow. That's what it is. And I've done it the last two Sundays.
Well, you're a TikTok superstar too, right, Griff, with these picks that you make?
Man, my picks are so bad. You obviously you listen to Monday's podcast with Danny. Did you hear the parlay that I had for college football?
I did. Yeah, that didn't work out.
I'm gonna tell Matt because I don't know if Matt knows about it. So Matt, last week I had Oklahoma and Texas to hit the over 65.5 points hit. I had Michigan State money line. I had Georgia money line. I had Michigan money line. And then I had Alabama money line over Texas A&M.
I mean, that one seems to make sense. I don't know if anybody out there picked A&M.
I could have cashed.
That's a little rough.
I could have cashed out after Michigan won, but I decided to ride the wave because I'm like, you know what? We're riding it.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah,
I rode the wave. It was a $25 parlay. I would have won. I think it was like $175.
Oh, that's nothing, Griff.
Oh, I know.
Fuck?
I know.
You got to man up and pick some more underdogs. Picking too many favorites.
There's a lot of betting stuff on TikTok. There's a guy who bet on the two NBA preseason games, teams to win by like 35. He just threw 25 cents on it because he's like, I don't like having an odd number in my account. So he bet 25 cents on it and ended up winning $1,200 on NBA preseason.
Oh, I don't know if you heard about this, but week two, there was a guy, it was either on DraftKings or BetMGM, did a 16-team parlay. It was 15 for 16. $25 would have won him like $350,000.
Is this the Lions one?
Yeah.
And they offered him to cash out?
They offered him to cash out at $240,000.
First of all, why are you betting on the Lions anyway? And then at the point where you hit 15 of 16 or whatever it was and you see the Lions are your last hope, cash the hell out.
Yeah. So
I was telling Griff before, on week one, I had a 14 parlay. I hit on the first three, and then I picked the Giants over the Broncos. Before I knew that the Giants' defense was absolute trash.
Yep.
And I lost a good $400. I didn't bet $400, but I put in 20, and it was like a 440 cash out. And I blow it.
DraftKings needs
I got to start listening to Griff's TikToks.
But to be honest, this week, I'm actually considering not doing NFL this Sunday. And I'm thinking about doing a college football and NHL parlay tomorrow. Like, not one big parlay, but doing a college football and an NFL parlay separately. Because what I do for betting, I basically play what I can. I was actually talking to Miguel about this last week. I play what I can afford to lose.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
Like, I'm not going to go out there and do something stupid.
Yeah, you're on a cold streak there, Griff. You got to switch it up.
Well, I'm on such a cold streak. It's really bad. But you know what? I feel like we'll talk about this more, but there's another guy on TikTok who literally every time he picks someone to bet, everyone's like, his name's Book at Trent. What he'll do is he'll bet a parlay, someone to troll him picked his reverse picks. The one guy on TikTok lost, and the guy who trolled him won.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So is that what we should start doing with you, Griff? Just everything.
Pick the opposite of what Griff picks, and you'll win some fucking money. How about that?
Once Connecticut gets their sports gambling going, I'm going to start doing this.
Do it. But anyway,
the only thing I could do is DraftKings like daily with a friend.
That's
like,
no fun.
Yeah, no.
Connecticut's really fucking hard.
It hasn't started up yet. They're starting up, but I don't think it's up yet.
All about the money.
Matt, you probably know her, but there's a girl on Twitter that I follow who's a big Giants fan who I think moved, who like literally Smalls? Wanted Smalls literally wanted
yeah,
to move
she
out.
She follows me. Before she blew up, we followed each other. Yeah, she I don't think she lives in Connecticut anymore, but she's from Connecticut.
But I think she moved out because of betting, because she's really big into the sports betting. So that's just one thing where I see like Connecticut getting fucked for that.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
Yikes.
But anyway, folks, that's going to wrap it up for episode 119.
What an episode.
What a fucking episode. A surprise. This is like the first time I've ever had a surprise guest just come in. Like, this has been amazing just to see Matt Lorenzo, who's going to be on a back-to-back streak. We got Ray
crazy
making his first ever appearance this coming Monday, folks. But anyway, guys, it's been a blast getting to talk to Bobby and Matt. Guys, enjoy the Devils home opener tonight. Even though I said Bobby earlier, I need Kubalik to get some points tonight. But you guys enjoy your day in Jersey, and I'll see you folks on Monday night.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, saythedamnscore.com.